Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
The military Me Too movement has exposed a fault line running through military organisations around the globe. And despite rafts of reports, policies and protocols, a culture where women are vulnerable to discrimination, harassment and assault persists in armed forces the world over. And I'm joined now by our own Katie Hannan, whose radio documentary Women of Honour will be broadcast tomorrow on RTE Radio 1 at 1 o'clock. And a warning before we begin this discussion that some of what you're about to hear mightn't be appropriate for younger listeners. You might want to turn down the radio for a few minutes. Katie, you're very welcome. It's good to have you here. So let's start at the beginning. Who are the Women of Honour?
The Women of Honour are a group of serving or and former members of the Irish Army, the Irish Navy, the Naval Service and the Air Corps. We're talking privates, officers, NCOs. Some of them have long and very distinguished military careers behind them. Others had their careers in uniform cut short by events outside of their control. All of them will say that they have been scarred in one way or another by their experience of military life. And through the lockdown, they have been coming together. They are on Zoom meetings, they have WhatsApp groups, and they're sharing their experiences, they're swapping notes. They are worried, and you know, this is all part of this story. They are very worried about who they can trust in relation to this, so they kept the group small. They kept its existence secret, even from some of their friends and former colleagues. Some of them will be surprised when this comes out in the coming days. And they discuss issues, you know, issues that come up in any organisation if you're a woman and it's a predominantly male organisation. And, you know, 40 years after women joined the Irish Defence Forces, there are still less than 7% females in that organisation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're talking about issues with maternity leaves, issues about promotions, issues around bullying, but also a remarkable number of the Women of Honour have direct experience of sexual harassment and sexual assault.
And these Irish women, they see themselves as part of this military Me Too movement.
Yeah, because right now in the UK, in Australia, New Zealand, in Canada and the United States, women who served in the military are coming forward with stories of bullying, harassment, assault, rape. It's caused a massive political scandal in Canada in recent months. Justin Trudeau was dragged into it because very senior military figures were implicated. In the UK, they just published a landmark parliamentary report. This revealed 2/3 of women in the British Armed Forces had experienced bullying, sexual harassment and discrimination. In the US, there is currently a move. There was a very high-profile congressional hearings into this, and senators are now moving to overhaul the military justice system there. But here we are told that pretty much uniquely in the English-speaking world that the problem is sorted. Because we'll all remember 2 decades ago, Tom Clonan brought out his research, his PhD research, which showed that this was rife. There was a culture in the Defence Forces that tolerated harassment and assault. But now we're told that's been sorted. It's been rooted out. The culture has been transformed.
And has it?
Well, I mean, there is no doubt that it has improved, and there has been lots of policies, reporting structures put in place. We've had 3 reports from the Independent Monitoring Group. There's been the Defence Forces Dignity Charter. The Office of the Ombudsman for the Defence Forces has been set up. There's been gender equality officers. On paper, it looks like all the bases are covered. But when you talk to female Defence Force members, current and former serving, and male members indeed, they'll tell you that there's still very much a work in progress. And a real issue, a persistent issue, is this reluctance to formally report colleagues for misconduct, because there is a fear, a really powerful fear in there that it will come back and bite you and maybe damage or end your career. Tom Clonan, we mentioned him there. We went back to him, you know, two decades after he did his research, and he's interesting on his take on this now.
There may be changes in policy. There may be some structural changes around regulations and reporting procedures, but it's not clear at all about whether or not the culture of the Irish Defence Forces has changed. The participation rates of women in the Irish Defence Forces remain very, very low by international comparisons. And you'd have to wonder why that is the case. Over the years, I've had contact from a lot of women across all 3 services, and they have shared with me experiences that are very dark and reflect the darkest findings of that original research 20 years ago. That is to say, serious sexual harassment, sexual violence, sexual assault and rape. So there appears to be a deeply misogynistic culture within a certain cohort of officers and other ranks within Ireland's Defence Forces.
That's Tom Conan. So, Katie, how does the culture manifest itself in practice?
Well, some of what the Women of Honour would describe might appear, you know, at first to be just trivial, a bit of banter. You know, we've all heard it in workplaces. But it is telling. And as they describe it, it can be really corrosive when you're trying to, you know, gain respect of your colleagues, find your place. So this first clip is what young Navy recruits were told as they embarked on their naval careers.
He called us in a few days after we joined the ship and told us that we're not allowed to wear any silky underwear, that they were only to be cotton underwear in case of a fire. And he also told us that we're not allowed to wear tampons in case that we get toxic shock syndrome while we're at sea. Another senior NCO told us that he'll never allow two females into the ribs together in case we get distracted by dolphins.
When was this being said? Was this around the time that Tom Clonan was presenting his research?
Yeah, pretty much exactly that time around that year. So that's then, that's two decades ago. So now this next clip you'll hear is actually just from a very few short years ago. And this is what young naval recruits had shouted at them, young female naval recruits had shouted at them in training.
We had to listen to, oh, this is a man's world, you're in a man's world. You're only bait, that's all you are, you're bait in here. I know that's the way the military works. Yeah, your bait is not what you want to hear.
So that's astonishingly at the lesser extent of what female members of the Defence Forces have had to put up with. You've also heard accounts, though, Katie, of serious assaults.
Yes, yes, we have. And this next clip you'll hear is retired Air Corps Captain Yvonne O'Rourke. She was just a 23-year-old lieutenant or lieutenant when they took part in an event. She took part in an event that took her away from her own base and involved members from other barracks. They ended up in a nightclub after this event, and she found herself pinned to the bar by a senior officer.
And all I can say in truth and honesty was that I felt like I was pinned to the bar, and I felt like I was prey to him. And I immediately went, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Yes, drink the beer. Get that beer. What? Drink that now. Drink that. Get that beer into you." And I kept going, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir." And he got me another drink. And I was like, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir." Now I'm going, why didn't I just go, get out of the way, let me away from here? But back then, that wasn't even on my radar. It was just, "Yes, sir." And that's the way it was. And because I wasn't a big drinker, obviously the drink had hit me very quickly and I wasn't feeling well. And I said I wanted to go back to the barracks. And he was adamant that he'd bring me back. And when I went outside, I was just not well at all. And we were in a taxi, and the rest of the night is an absolute haze to me. But unfortunately, I woke up the following day. I was on the ground. I wasn't even in my bed in another room. And I had my face was on the carpet, and my every part of my body was aching. My breasts were sore and my bottoms area was sore. And I just remember feeling humiliated, violated, trauma.
So what happened that night would have a devastating impact, understandably, on Yvonne's life. But you spoke to other women with similar experiences.
Yeah, in the course of making this programme, I've spoken to 8 women who had been raped, sexually assaulted or subjected to serious and prolonged sexual harassment by officers. And you'll hear the voices of 5 of those women in this documentary. Like, the standout thing for me is that while all but one of the victims that I spoke to reported what happened to them, to the military police, and we all know how challenging it is to bring forward these kind of allegations, not one of the officers who had been, the allegations had been made against, were ever charged with a sexual crime. Some of them were reprimanded. There were some disciplinary proceedings for things like being in female quarters, or in one case for unlawfully getting undressed. Mm-hmm. But in all cases, they walked away, little more than a slap on the wrist. They went on, were promoted through, you know, and went on and had military careers as commissioned officers. The next clip you're going to hear will give you a sense of what can happen when complaints about sexual harassment are not addressed. This is Karina Malloy, one of the most decorated non-commissioned officers in ever to serve. She was overseas more often than any other female in the Defence Forces. She had her, at one of these overseas tours, she was being seriously sexually harassed. She made numerous complaints. They were ignored. Then 10 days before they were due to go home, this happened.
I was in my room after 12 o'clock at night, I heard this unmerciful banging and kicking on my door. So I rushed, put on my dressing gown, rushed to the door, opened the door, and there was my boss. Drunk, very drunk, saying, "Okay, Malloy, I'm having you now." And he stumbled into the room. And I was still in such shock that he pushed me onto the bed and tried to open my dressing gown. Now, luckily, he was very, very drunk. And I was able to push him off me and just leave him. And I ran out of the room, fixed my dressing gown and ran through to the Irish camp. And again, I went and complained to the adjutant afterwards. But still, look, Malloy, we're going home now. Forget about it. We're not dealing with this. Your overseas reports have been done. His has been done. Get on that plane and go home. Forget it. Forget it. Forget it. Just forget it. How can you forget being... How can you forget yet again being sexually assaulted? Just can't forget it. And a sense of humour just doesn't help you there.
Katie, what do these women want, the women of honour?
Well, Corina Malloy, that you heard there, she talks about needing the two A's, an acknowledgement and an apology. I mean, some of these women, Corina Malloy, Yvonne O'Rourke, they're only going public because they've exhausted all the proper channels. There's volumes of correspondence with the Department of Defence and, beyond being advised, go to the guards. They haven't really gotten very far. We know Sergeant Anthony O'Brien has been putting in more allegations to the department around child sexual abuse and other, historic allegations. We know a barrister is currently examining other specific allegations of bullying in the Defence Forces. We asked Minister Simon Coveney if he believes that these cases are being appropriately acknowledged and dealt with. And we got a response to that late last night. This is what he says. It acknowledges that the minister has been in receipt of correspondence of this nature. It says, "The minister is currently examining the overall response to that correspondence with a view to conducting an independent assessment of actions taken to date and whether any actions should be adopted." So that's where it left. I mean, it's remarkable there's been no discussion about redress for these women. We know there's been secret settlements with women who have been damaged because of this. Mm-hmm. The Women of Honour want an independent audit to establish the full extent and a hard look at the military justice system that's failing so many members.
Well, it's a powerful listen. It's called Women of Honour. It'll be broadcast on RT Radio 1 tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Katie, thank you so much for coming in. And for anyone affected by the issues we've just discussed, you can get help and support from the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre by reaching them on their national 24-hour helpline 1-800-77-8888, or you can contact the Samaritans by calling 116 123. And there's more information available at rte.ie/helplines.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.